for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons nor daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons, and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, Enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, Wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or, What is our iniquity? Or, What is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, The Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land and have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So again, one of those chapters where we have a lot of gloom, a lot of judgment pronounced. In the first section, and I have that as verses 1 through 9, the Lord describes His judgments. And the main principle to be seen here is that they will not be gathered to their fathers. They will die the death of the covenant breaker, be scattered as dung upon the ground. And there is a fearful and solemn declaration by the Lord in verse 5, I have taken away my peace from them, and I have taken away my loving kindness and my mercy. Look at the way that is stated. I think it's important. Thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Let me say it this way. The only way there is for the people of God to have peace is through the loving kindness and mercy of God. If the Lord takes away His loving kindness and mercies, no matter what it looks like, it's not peace. Peace is what? Peace with God. Right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what peace is. And so peace is not tranquility. Peace is not the outward absence of strife. You can have that kind of outward peace and yet have no peace with God. In fact, at this particular point in their history, the judgment that is coming is yet future. And that's why the Lord will say, don't enter into the house of mourning with them, and don't enter into the house of feasting with them either. There is still feasting going on, because it has not yet come to the judgments that will come that God has promised. Okay? And so at this point, notice that they are still feasting. They still think, even though they're under threat of judgment, that the Lord will not do anything. And so the Lord says, don't go into the house of feasting. Don't go into the house of mourning. There's another deprivation that is enjoined upon Jeremiah here. Don't take a wife and don't have children in this place. It's interesting, isn't it? The Lord would actually tell His prophet, don't do that. Don't take a wife and don't take children. Well, this is not unknown in the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, speaking of the present distress, will say, this may not be the best time to get married, although you don't sin if you do. Right? The present distress, the suffering that's about to come upon the church in the latter part of the first century and into the second century. Because of this present distress, it may not be the wisest course to take a wife. Yet you have not sinned if you do, even under circumstances such as that. So we want to make sure and set out the proper context. Now we have an extraordinary command prophetically given to the prophet that he is under no circumstances to take a wife nor have children because he has something to do as a prophet. And so he is precluded from that. This is a part of his service unto the Lord. The Apostle Paul felt himself under the same kind of constraint. Right? Don't I have a right to have a wife, a lead about a wife like Cephas does? Yet I have used none of these things. Right, so that my voice might be heard in the utmost regions, because I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, we understand that. So there are times, under particularly extraordinary circumstances, when the Lord has told His people that it would be better for them not to marry, and yet He has never told them that it would be a sin, generally speaking, for them to marry. Okay, so we want to make sure and sort that out. It sounds odd for us for the Lord to command Jeremiah, don't take a wife and don't have children here. And may I say that, scripturally speaking, it's sad that we have to qualify this, but we will qualify it. That scripturally speaking, the one and the other are the same things. To have a wife is to have children. Right? And that's part of the same package, part of the same deal. So, Jeremiah's ministry, then, is to be one of sacrifice and self-denial. Now, that's the main point. We want to understand that for this preacher, it meant self-denial. Notice that the same was true with regard to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord told Isaiah that he was going to be the kind of preacher that preached until cities were laid waste. That he wasn't supposed to have a successful ministry, that his would be a ministry of preaching unto judgment. Okay. So let us make sure that we understand that principle that applies to us all with regard to our service to Christ, that we are to take up our cross daily. And taking up the cross is not the way of suffering per se, but it is most certainly the way of self-denial. Okay, so we come down to verse 10. And in verse 10, it shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these things, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced this great evil against us? What is our iniquity? What is our sin? Notice that Jeremiah is commanded to teach them certain things. First of all, he is commanded to teach them of their proclivity to sin, because first they learned it from their fathers. They don't get to say, this is the way we were raised. We're not guilty. They don't get to say that. There are those that are, that are out there and they take covenant theology because it is so family oriented. They take it too far. They say things like, you're kind of locked up to your environment. The people of God don't get a pass here by saying, our fathers taught us this. They ask the question, why is the Lord so angry with us? And the Lord begins by saying, because your fathers worshipped other gods. And then you, notice what he does, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Interesting, isn't it? So the Lord presses directly to them their own sins. Because the scriptural principle is what? That while there may be temporal consequences that are visited generation to generation, we are not punished for the sins of our fathers. We're punished for our own sins. Now, there may be temporal difficulties that fall generation to generation. We see that in Scripture. That happens quite often. But notice, the Lord does not blame them for their fathers' sins. He says that there is indeed some guilt accrued in your fathers' sins that will be visited upon the nation, but you have done worse than your fathers in that you have taken these things to your hearts. You are idolaters at heart before me. And so the Lord is able, shall we say it that way, generation to generation, to be judge over his people. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there ye shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Once again, a very scary, scary proposition. Then we have this new thing in the earth with regard to the people of God. It will no longer be said of them, the people that the Lord brought up out of Egypt. No, there's going to be a new era. The people that the Lord gathered from everywhere he had scattered them all over the world. This will be the new theme by which this people is known. So their judgments will be remembered even in the midst of the mercy that I will show them. Right? And that's good. It's good to remember that. It's good to remember those judgments in the midst of God's mercy. So a new proverb for the people of God speaks to the watershed event that the nation is about to endure. This is a new Egypt, a new bondage, and a new judgment. But like Egypt, there will be a good end. They will be gathered and restored for some, but not all. All right, so then we have the cry of Jeremiah. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself that are no gods? What an amazing thing. The people of God, bearing witness to the true God, are scattered to the four winds. And what happens when they come back? They bring Gentiles with them. And what are those Gentiles confessing? Shall a man make an image of gods that are no gods at all? They're turning from their idols. Who would have thought that the scattering of the Jews to the four winds would also be the salvation of God's elect in the Gentile nations? And yet, that is the way the Lord has chosen to do it. And then, notice the reversal of that process, just as I'm thinking, you know, theologically here, when we come to Romans chapter 11, and the Lord says about the Jews, He says, they have been cast off for a time till the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and they will provoke to jealousy those who are my kinsmen according to the flesh, and they too shall rise up, the elect in Israel, and call upon the name of the Lord. What do we learn from that procedure of the Lord's then? Well, that simply, while we may not know exactly what's going on out there, how the Lord is working, we do know this, that not one of the sheep of Christ will be lost, no matter what nation they're born into, no matter what family they come from, no matter that they might be inclined to cast blame upon their fathers. No, men like Daniel go to Babylon, and men like the Magi return and welcome the king when he comes. This is what the Lord is doing in the world. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God.